Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kim Lings. I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And for this week, we're going to focus on the US labor market data. We got a huge range of employment-related numbers out of the US last week, and I think it gives us a sense of where that market is. And overall, I would say that at the margin, it does appear that US labor market conditions are softening. Not suggesting that the US is about to go into a recession, but I think there's enough evidence to suggest that the labor market is not quite as strong as it has been in recent months. The second is to have a look at South Africa's GDP estimate for the final quarter last year. Obviously, it was not encouraging, and for the year as a whole, we only grew by 0.6%. But I think what it does is highlight how South Africa has to manage itself in order to inspire a pickup in economic growth during the course of this year and into next year. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics released the employment data for February. They released that on Friday afternoon. And on the face of it, it looked like a good outcome. The U.S. created 275,000 jobs in the month. That was well ahead of market expectations. The market was looking for a gain of about 200,000 jobs. But I think if you look at a broader set of labor market data, it does indicate that labor market conditions are softening. So what are we referring to? The first is that when I look at the previous 2 months' data in terms of how many jobs were added in the US, that was revised down by a total of 167,000 jobs. That's huge. And so what we thought was a very good employment gains in December and January, those numbers are not quite as strong as they appear to be at first glance. The second is that the unemployment rate has moved up. It's now sitting at 3.9%. Now, 3.9% is still a very decent outcome. But at one stage, it was sitting at 3.5%, and I think there is a trend to the upside. And I wouldn't be surprised over the coming months if it moves above 4%, which again would be a clear indication of some softening in the US labor market. The third for me is the fact that wage growth continues to slow. Now, that's exactly what you would want if you want to bring inflation under control. But in terms of the strength of the economy, a slowdown in wage growth does argue that labor market is not as strong as it has been. And so wage growth is now sitting at 4.3%. Obviously, 4.3% is still too high when you're in the Federal Reserve and you're trying to get the overall inflation rate down to 2%. But that has moderated considerably, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that there'll be a further moderation in wages going forward. The next is got to do with the quit rate. In other words, the number of people changing jobs in the US, and that has come off considerably, and last month it fell even further. And if we look at the quit rate, it's pretty much in line with the average that existed prior to the start of COVID. Again, that would indicate that there's been some normalization of labor market conditions. People aren't changing jobs as easily as they did previously. And that's good news if you want to bring inflation under control, because generally when you change jobs, that is accompanied by an increase in salaries. And if fewer people are changing jobs, it does help to keep the salary increase overall a little bit more under control. And then finally, we have seen a moderation in job openings. Now, the number of job openings is still incredibly high. It sits at about 8.8 million, which is well in excess of how many people are unemployed. But it wasn't that long ago when it was well above that. It was sitting at 10, 11 million, an all-time record high. And so the fact that there are less job openings, again, indicates that companies are perhaps at the margin slightly less anxious to employ people. So if you put all of the data together, you end up with a conclusion that I guess argues that the labor market is still in good shape. It's still helping to grow the economy. The number of jobs being added is still helpful in terms of achieving a decent economic outcome. But at the margin, the labor market appears to be weakening. At the edges, it seems to be softening, moving into an environment that is more in line with where interest rates have been for quite some time. And so I think there is a general expectation that the softness we've seen in labor market will continue during the course of this year and will, in fact, intensify. Whether or not it softens enough to signal that the US is in a recession, that's a whole different question. And at this stage, the data would suggest perhaps not. But I think as it softens, that opens up the opportunity for the Federal Reserve to be more comfortable in cutting rates. And right now, the expectation is still that the Fed will start to cut rates in the June of this year. The second area of data I want to focus on is South Africa's GDP performance for the final quarter last year. We got the outcome during the course of the week and the economy grew by 0.1%. Now, 0.1% is dismal. Essentially, the economy is stagnating. And it was also a little bit below market expectations. The market was thinking 0.2%. I don't think it matters much. When you're at that level of overall growth, it suggests that the economy is essentially moving sideways. I guess the good news is that we're not in a deep recession. It's not as if the economy is contracting and we're losing hundreds of thousands of jobs. So I guess that is some comfort. But a growth rate of 0.1% or what we achieved for the year as a whole was 0.6%. That's not in line with population growth. That's certainly not going to inspire any level of confidence. And that's not going to lead to a pickup in fixed investment activity from the private sector. The population in this country grows at 1.6%. So that sets at least the minimum GDP growth rate you would want to achieve. And realistically, in South Africa, we would have to achieve a growth rate well in excess of that to start to make a real difference in people's lives. So where did the growth come from that we had? There's one sector I want to highlight, and that is the transport sector. And the reason I want to highlight that is there are a couple more encouraging developments. The one is that there has been a pickup in the railway transport of freight. Now, that sounds a little odd given all the difficulties that Transnet's been experiencing, but we are aware that there has been the deployment of some additional security on railway lines. Some private sector security has got involved, and that seems to be helping to get more consistent railway traffic moving on some of the key corridors. And so off a low base, we've seen an improvement in rail freight. The second area of transport worth flagging is the increase, massive increase in airline transport. So I looked particularly at Cape Town in February, for example. Cape Town recorded the highest number of planes arriving at Cape Town International Airport, certainly well above where it was before COVID started. And so that gives you an indication of a nice resurgence in airline travel. If I look at international travel arriving at Cape Town, it's also at a record high. So Cape Town clearly a key beneficiary from all of this. There's also been a decent improvement in airline travel going into OR Tambo, both international and domestic. And what that is doing is it's boosting the transport sector. So airline travel together with a pickup in freight means that off a low base, that sector is able to make the best contribution to GDP out of any of the sectors. What's been hurting us? Well, unfortunately, it's the fall off in consumer spending, essentially the fall off in retail sales. And that decline is coming about because household income is simply not keeping pace with inflation. Companies are not giving inflation-based wage increases. So in real terms, disposable income is falling. Now, under some circumstances, households then indulge in credit. In other words, they use an increase in credit in order to compensate for the loss of disposable income, and in that way they can keep their level of spending intact and you don't see a significant moderation. Under current circumstances, though, the banks have tightened up on credit conditions, and so banks are not as willing, not as easy to grant credit, and so we've seen key areas of household credit dissipate, and the overall growth rate in household credit has dwindled to around about 3 or 4%, which in itself is actually below inflation and therefore contractionary in real terms. And so given those circumstances, consumers simply don't have the funds to go shopping, and as a consequence, we've seen a decline in retail sales. Now, this showed up very starkly when we go back to November last year and we look at the Black Friday sales. Obviously, the retailers geared up for Black Friday. They anticipated a decent outcome, and the number was certainly very disappointing. There was some improvement in the December retail sales figures, but it was not enough to compensate. And so overall, we've seen a contraction in retail activity. And it certainly feels likely that that weakness is going to continue on in the first quarter of this year. at this stage. I can't see salaries increasing in any significant way. Obviously, it does help a bit that inflation has been brought a little bit more under control. But nevertheless, household sector is going to be going backwards in terms of real income growth. Interest rates remain elevated. They're not likely to be cut in the short term. And so I think you're going to have a continuation of consumers remaining under pressure. All of that tells me that we're just going to struggle to grow this country unless we are able to continue the critical reform process that has been started around infrastructure renewal. In particular, what government has embarked on is trying to draw the private sector in to help with some of the infrastructure development. We've already done that in the energy space with the solar development, and there certainly are strong initiatives to get that going within the rail sector, the port sector, and ultimately water and sanitation. And the more we're able to do that, I think the more we're able to pick up and lift South Africa's growth rate a little bit. And hopefully when we've done that, we can inspire a bit more confidence. Hopefully interest rates are lower by that stage and we get a more broad-based pickup in economic activity. But clearly in the short term, this economy is going to remain under pressure as we focus on the election at the end of May and as we hope that private sector is brave enough to get involved in the infrastructure development program. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.